Well, I'm your host, Eugene S. Robinson. The show is Knuckle Up. There'll be no screaming intro today, driving in the car. This is round number 379, and in fact, there'll be no joy in Mudville today. Those of you who are especially susceptible to bring down itis might want to skip this week's show. Come back for another time. I mean, just to show you that this is, like Bukowski said, that this is not all jokes and bullshit. For those of you in the know, you don't need to know that I do this show off the cuff, but from the heart. So the unbridled joy and brio of living that kind of embraces me during the opening segment, I do not feel at all today. Round number 379. I'm your host, Eugene S. Robinson. The show is Knuckle Up. We're going to skip the intro today and go straight to the show. One, because I'm tired of going over it, over 1 hour time. 1 hour and 6 minutes. It may not bug you, but it bugs me. And more specifically, because I'm not in the mood. And I'm not in the mood because, much like, you know, we always use the drug parallel when we talk about MMA. Like they used to say about David Bowie used to say in the coffee ads, it picks you up while it lets you down, which some of us extrapolated to other narcotics, heroin, cocaine. I'm a cocaine achiever. It lifts you up while it lets you down. And heroin, it lets you down while it lets you down. And all these other permutations, iterations of the coffee commercial. But for the parallel to be consistent, you have to understand that MMA brings you up and it lets you down. And very specifically, we in the scant 6 weeks of 2015 have had the highest highs, and now we're in the middle of what I consider to be the lowest lows. Believe it. In fact, for somebody outside of our universe, they might think that I'm crazy for other reasons than the fact that I'm crazy. That's just the game. It's just the sport. There's no global impact. There's no impact. They said, don't you understand? I don't know anything about football or European football, also known as soccer, any other sports really necessarily, baseball, basketball, other than MMA. But there's a reason why millions on millions of people are passionate about it, even if they don't have on from the cheap seats to the floor seats, you know. From guys who didn't get out of seventh grade to guys who are PhDs, you know, there's an understanding of sports that it's a trans word I'm looking for here, not transgendered. That somehow not transposes, but that leaps over and reaches into the heart of you without you necessarily having any understanding. I mean, my dog Popeye does not speak English. But he knows tone. Popeye's probably not getting a PhD any day now, but he probably knows me better than any doctors of science or Nobel Prize winners who I've happened to know over the course of my life. And the lessons of MMA about the indomitability of the human spirit, these things get lost. I mean, I think we can safely say, I'm going to make the claim, and I've said this before, if you fall down a flight of stairs and hurt yourself, it really has, depending on my level of empathy, of course, it really has no effect or bearing on me. I feel just fine. You know, we have social structures that develop empathy, though, so that if you are close to me in another circumstance and you fall down a flight of stairs, I might feel something. America has long been pimping a fantasy, and I know it's a fantasy because it's not true, of the rugged individual. You know, up until almost 4 or 5 years ago, you'd have heard me saying that. I had a woman approach me once about writing an article for a magazine. I was editor-in-chief, and she wanted to base the article on the African proverb about the gazelle that strays is the gazelle that gets killed. And I saw this terrible pressure that she was giving voice to, specifically in the black community, as a way to hold people down. Specifically, golden boys or girls. Those shining alpha individuals that come along every couple of generations that almost get you to believe in, you know, the primacy of the individual. The primacy of the individual. I was big onto autarky, autarky. It was a political system that believed in the rule of the radically individual. Another fantasy. John Wayne movies, fantasies. Every single American idiom is a fantasy. And it could be because with the whole pilgrim time that we felt isolated and alone, so then we start to elevate the importance of individuals alone. But as I've said before, take 100 babies, put 100 babies in a field and come back a month later, without adult community intervention, they're all dead babies. No wolves are raising these babies. All dead babies. So there are complex networks of social groupings of things that are connected. I mean, you could say the last proponent of really super radical individualism was Adolf Hitler. As Hitler moves his hand, so did Germany move its hand. As Hitler scratched his nose, so did Germany scratch its nose. Is there anybody alive who, with serious powers of analysis, who believes that what happened in Nazi Germany was good for Nazi Germany? Based on their tenets of success, a 1,000-year Reich that lasted 12 years, does that qualify as a success? Hitler said right before the end, well, the German people have failed me. Me, the individual. The collective has failed the individual. Because individual initiative might be rewarded, but it's rewarded by the collective. I say this all as prelude to say that, you know, the problems of any single individual, you know, are not isolated events. And if you've been paying attention at all to what's happened this week in MMA, there is a stench in the room that is not clearing out. We are now involved in the sport in great disarray. And you will not find any MMA journalist of the year talking about this. I'm no drama queen. And I have to tell you, I'm not overstating the case. What Eugene, what bee is in your bonnet? What's got you? What's the problem? What's going on that's bugging you so much? Eugene, what's happening that's getting on your nerves so much? I don't know if you've read the news today, but apparently, according to Bloody Elbow. According to Bloody Elbow, they are going to effectively claw back Anderson Silva's purse. They're withholding $6 million from him. Now, Bigfoot, Antonio Silva, Antonio Bigfoot Silva has come out and said, "Hey, we've had the problems with this same doctor. You know, this is not right. This guy is turning a bunk test." I don't know. As much as I know about steroids, I don't know. Anderson Silva has reportedly had 16, we'll translate it to U.S. dollars, $6 million U.S. dollars blocked by the UFC due to the pre-fight drug test failure. I don't know what you've been, you know, I don't know where you've been this past week. But let me update you. The raft of bad news after bad news. The fight was declared no contest. What do you think this does to the gambling touts? I'm not worried about them. But I'm trying to let you know that the ankle bone is connected to the foot bone and the knee bone is connected to the leg bone. That we live in a collective universe that right now, in my mind, is suffering. And the reason this great dissatisfaction you feel is because collective guilt, collective responsibility. There's enough shit to be spread around amongst and amidst everybody, with the exception of very possibly you and me, who are in the backseat of a bus that's careening down the road out of control. So the fight is declared no contest. Punishments have yet to be dealt out to Nick Diaz for weed, a non-performance enhancing drug, but yet is banned by competition. Post-fight, seems to me if a guy wants to smoke weed post-fight, it's his business. But apparently there were several drug tests up to there that should have resulted in him turning a positive for THC metabolites, whatever, and they should have dinged him. So the fact that this was, she had did huge numbers. I don't even have what it takes to trundle down a conspiracy road. Following the money or where the money is going and not going. And from Anderson Silva's reported distaste for Reebok. Reebok, whose commercials, you know, feature a lot of stuff from Tough Mudder, but pretty much probably stuff that about 40% of the fighters out there use for their conditioning routines, from tire flipping to, you know, odd object carrying stuff and body weight exercises without actually having any fighters in it. Maybe some CrossFit people. Now you've got Joe Lauzon and you've got a few others. Fabricio Verdum complaining about the level of sponsorship deal. He goes, yeah, I'm not, Joe Lauzon says, I fight a lot. I'm not a ranked fighter. That means that a guy who doesn't fight half as much, but who's also not a ranked fighter would get the same thing, which means technically I'm getting less per fight. It's how I feed my kids. This is how I manage to only fight as often as you need me. Fabricio Verdum came out with not faint praise. He's like, well, you know, this means that you know, I'm doing okay because I fight very hard and I'm up the chain, but the guys who are lower down the chain, they won't do as well. They won't go as far. Yeah. This is chaos. They say that people don't like to see other people make mistakes because you compound the mistake in your own head. You know, if you're playing a piano solo, you get the note wrong. My brain is registering that the note is wrong and that I played the note wrong. That's why people get frustrated easily trying to teach kids things. I remember my mother trying to teach me how to read. It was terrible. Of course, everybody in my family uses disdain and ridicule. I remember reading a book, Tip and Mitten. I'd misspell a word. My mother would go, what did you say? What was that word again? I said, Tip, forget his. He forgot? What is that? What is it, forgot? What does that mean, forgot? I'd be like, excuse me, let me go play chess with my stepfather, who will viciously beat me in a game of chess because it would send the wrong message to let me win every now and then. games of chess that were interrupted by frequent trips by me to the bathroom, where I would sob bitterly before I returned to the chessboard to play again and get beaten again. Why are you the way you are, Eugene? Well, let me tell you. It's like that great scene from Blade Runner. Could you tell me about your father? Let me tell you about my father. And the cyborg flips out, because of course he has no father. In any case, if you don't realize that shit is in disarray, if you don't feel this happening in yourself, you're not paying attention or you're a casual fan. It's okay. It's okay not to pay attention to this. It's okay to be a casual fan of this. But after, I mean, this is like a fight reversal. This is like a guy that you've been pulling to win, who's ahead on all the cards, Chael Sonnen, beating world champion Anderson Silva, and in the last 30 seconds of the last round gets choked the fuck out. And if you're a Chael Sonnen fan, surrounded as I was by you at the Oakland Coliseum, you're sitting around look and go, what the fuck just happened? And thank God it did happen, because of course, if Chael had won that fight, a dirty drug test would have come back and it would have yanked the tablecloth off of the table that was our legitimate sport, which is where we are right now. Anderson Silva, taking a page from Kung Lee's book, is going to, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit it. Questioning the premise. It just works in traffic court when you say, hey, how recently was your speed gun calibrated? How do I know it's saying, how do I know it's 75? Maybe it's 70, maybe it's 67. Do you know? You actually do not know. You do not know. You're just making it up. Hold on. And now, Scott Coker, head panjandrum at Bellator, is raising some... Here. While such a solution would be obviously supported by fighters, promoters may be less receptive. The Muhammad Ali Reform Boxing Act protects boxers. Would like to see something like that in an MMA guideline and contract protecting the fighters. I mean, look, you know, do not think for a second that the NFL is any cleaner than MMA. But you know what the NFL has that MMA doesn't? NFL Players Association, super powerful. What if they had a football game and nobody showed up on the field? Teachers Union of America, super powerful. Some say it's strangling public education in America. You know what's strangling public education in America? People who don't want to fund it. I love the Republican line on education in America. You want education? Great, pay for it. Want health care? Well, health insurance? Good. Pay for it. I call those chaos solutions. Chaos solutions. That's what I call it. Because there'll be a solution that emerges out of it, but it'll be a lucky solution if it ends up being anything other than chaos. This whole circle of wagons thing, again, based on the rule of the radically individual, which is not how anything works in real life. Eugene, are you a communist? Is that what? I'm not talking about communism. I'm talking about an acknowledgement, a basic functioning acknowledgement that everything is connected. Call it a certain type of universalism. So while Anderson Silva's problems are not problems that other fighters haven't had, but we finally reached a critical mass where now a guy like me, who is pretty laissez-faire in terms of drugs, has to say, you guys are, this is, like in stock market terms, a much needed maybe market adjustment. But you gotta be careful. I know nobody's listening, who cares? The bald guy is not listening. Anderson Silva is not listening. Ed Soares is not. Malky. Nobody's listening. Or they use the Israeli defense, which I love, actually. Hey, how are you going to blame us for stuff that everybody else does? You know, what? What? It doesn't in any way mitigate your involvement. So we're really at a major impasse. Like Nick Diaz said, I want to smoke weed until I die. You don't have any such like strongly voiced proponents for steroids, performance enhancing drugs, but it's pretty clear that if somebody told me, Eugene, if we catch you using steroids, and already we're in compromised land, because my brain is hearing, if catch steroids, in quotes, we will take away your $6 million. And keep in mind, because everything is connected, it's not just $6 million. It's $6 million and TV commercials for Burger King. It's $6 million and doing Michael Jackson ads for Pepsi. It's $6 million plus everything else. It's $6 million plus, you know, ability to fight the year, which was already a mixed bag anyway based on where dude's head was. To quote P. Diddy, everything's all, to quote, 50 Cent, everything's all fucked up now that 50 Cent's back around. That was his imitation of Ja Rule. I can't, and I am not overstressing the point that things now could not be more fucked up. Because you could say, well, yeah, things could be more fucked up. What if the UFC was where it was 10 years ago when the Fertittas were thinking about selling and the things weren't going really well and, you know, the numbers weren't there? Fine, you know? I paint a shitty painting. It's not a tragedy. I write a shitty book. It's not a tragedy. I realized this when Oxbow was working with Marion Faithful. And she was like nuts, you got to involve me in the mixing process. Like, why is she so nuts about this? I realized Marion Faithful has got a business. It's called Marion Faithful. If we do a shitty mix of her stuff predating the Metallica stuff, Metallica, who got the idea from Oxbow, through Dave Lefkowitz, their manager, who's friends with Oxbow's bass player, who stole the idea. Where'd you get the idea? Rather than throw Oxbow a bone and say, Metallica could have helped us out quite a bit and said, there's this great little band called Oxbow that did it. They just stuttered and muttering pricks that they are. Our manager came up with it. But we understood. It got all screwed up with us and Marion Faithful. We tried to use it before. She was using the internet a lot, you know, trying to get her a mix to okay a mix. Couldn't get a hold of her. Wait, we got to go. We got schedules to meet. But I said, why is she so crazy? You know, Oxbow comes out with a record, Serenade in Red. Does well, does poorly, who gives a fuck? It's Oxbow. Nobody gives a fuck. Oxbow, the business of Oxbow is not Oxbow. It's our hobby. I got to go to work every day to put food on the table. If you're an artist, that's your business. But, if you're a fighter, it's your business. All this stuff, all these things, all these revenue streams, your business. Your business. So this is a fuck up of a pretty significant proportion. And if you think it's going to stop, if you think it's going to get better, you are absolutely, singularly, totally wrong. And like I said, the rest of us are sitting in the back seat of a bus, incapable of sectioning off the shit from the rest of the world. And now ESPN is writing, and now The Guardian UK is writing. Major newspapers are picking this stuff up. You can't, it's like suddenly somebody yanks a curtain off a window and catches a UFC beating its wife. And you realize chaos is happening in that house. So in the space of January, which we've seen some of the biggest numbers ever, we've got fighters on coke, fighters on weed, fighters on steroids. It's fine for WWE, but if you think it's fine for MMA, you're wrong. Do I care? I don't care. I think drugs should be decriminalized, but that's not the world that we live in, and that's not the world that you work in. And the fact that from the UFC to the NSAC, Nevada State Athletic Commission, something just happened to the phone. I don't know if this is still recording. I'm gonna stop and we'll come back. Anyway, so it is all interconnected. It is all sadly interconnected. And in a very weird way, it's turned, I don't know if you're a member of any minority class. I'll give you an example. Last week or a couple of weeks ago, they got a Stanford athlete, busted him for rape. Somebody was going by the Kappa Alpha House. If you know it, it's on Campus Drive. They look up, see a couple fucking on the lawn. Except the woman appears to be completely unconscious. I guess they would have gleaned that from the fact that her legs were spread-eagled and her arm was out and her head was lolling to the side, maybe. They go, hey. Now, had this been people who were legitimately involved in consensual activity, you know, the guy would have said, waved them off. The couple would have said, oh my God, sorry, and run off into the bushes. I don't know. I've never been caught outside doing it. Which is not the same as not doing it outside. You just don't get caught. So they say, hey, dude gets up, runs away. So I'm hearing about this piece before I'm reading it. And I'm reading it without photos. But I guarantee you, every black guy on Stanford campus, every black alum who saw the story about the Stanford athlete raping a non-Stanford student, but raping some unconscious woman on the lawn. Now, if you know anything about the Kappa Alphas, you would know what I know. But I didn't really know it 100%. And that's, oh my God, don't let it be a black guy. If you're Latino, you know. Anytime that you hear about a crime, you know, that seems like it might be a Latino crime, what do you mean by that, Eugene? I don't know. Say in San Diego. I don't know. Something where you're reading it, and if you're a member of that group, you're like, please, God, don't let it be us. Suicide bomber, you know, Muslims are sitting around, you know. And now MMA is fitting that same weird subcategory. Where if it's a name you don't recognize, busted for drug, then you're like, oh my God, don't let it be an MMA guy. Generally, the court of public opinion does not mean shit to me. However, I live in a world where public opinion makes a difference. The congressman in New York who was the most resistant to MMA recently got busted on a bribery charge, being replaced by a guy who's more MMA friendly. Therefore, knee bone to leg bone, the chances of MMA existing in New York before the year is out, higher than ever. Until you get some wise guy congressperson who goes, do we really need this sport where, you know, tattooed felons are beating each other half to death, and then you're back to square one. I happen to think MMA is beautiful and expressive, and is probably the most serious athletic endeavor in the world. It's hard to feel that when a guy is playing lacrosse, say, or skiing, which seem to me like games. But could it destroy itself? It's not whether or not it could destroy itself. It's whether or not it gives aid to the enemies. And they exist. Steve Albini, who I love, produced 2 Oxbow records. I interviewed him for the Viceland MMA walkout piece, and he played along and chose 2 pieces of music that he would think would be, but he did have to have his say, where he goes, I think those beautiful minds and beautiful bodies should be put to a use more significant than trying to beat each other to death. Sagely put, And if you think about it, in some of the worst moments, I might agree with him. Seeing Joe Lauzon stagger around the last UFC, yeah, I knew he had to be finished. But at a certain point, I'm starting to think, where's the ref? If Goldberg and Rogan are saying they should stop this before I've thought they should stop it, they usually do. They're usually about two punches ahead of me. I'm like, what are you talking? And then two more punches. I'm like, okay, yeah, he's right. All this stuff doesn't exist in a vacuum. It does not exist in any kind of a vacuum, you know. I'm getting texts from Sarau. Sarau, he isn't a teledream crushing. It's not enough that he crushed my dreams when I'm at jiu-jitsu. But he's texting me right up until I get to jiu-jitsu. And then, of course, he begins texting me as soon as I leave jiu-jitsu. Oh, well, at least you have a coach who cares. Really? Texting me, how you get so horrible. Go home. Think about your life. You know, you make me blind. I wish you die. I wish you die. I wish you die. So you understand when I have my t-shirt that says straight jack him in the face, EJJ, Eugene Jiu-Jitsu, with the back thing that says DQ. And because I don't think I can get away with another shirt with fuck on it, like badass motherfucker, I'm going to use the number 4, the letter Q. DQ, fuck you. So this stuff is it's connected. And you might be like one of those people who pays a bunch of money for these academic studies. People who stay up a lot get sleepy. And you wonder, I can't believe they got money to study that. Like the Japanese guy who was drugging, come to my place for a sleep study. Let me give you some special pills to see if they help you sleep. The people would come and wake up with their underwear backwards and lipstick on their faces. I feel I've been tampered with. No, the videotape doesn't show that. The videotape that I'm putting up online, sleep study, drug screw, Japanese style. It's all connected. This is not one of those things where it's not a syllogism where it seems really, I'm not saying something, Eugene, that's really apparent. It's not really apparent because it's got more connections than a switchboard. Now, of course, yes, I am thinking to a certain degree about conspiracy. Why? Because nothing is accidental. Do you think somebody wants to take a multi-billion dollar endeavor and be turned up at Monday staff meetings going, oops, oops, oops? Or like I raised on Kid Nate's show, what's Matt Hughes doing? What exactly is Matt Hughes, fighter relations, what is he doing? He gets up to work on Monday, goes and sits at a desk, and sits there all through Friday, probably goes to work on Saturday if there's a fight. I say, well, you can't, you know, we have 567 somewhat fighters, you can't police it. Six fewer now that they had the new cut list. You can't police everybody. Hey, look, I'm not talking about domestic abuse. Okay, that's a problem endemic to all sports. It's a problem endemic to our gender. You got guys who are CEOs of corporations, journalists, newscasters beating up their wives. That's not an outlier. There hasn't been a good steroid, you know, yet there was a paroxysm of performance-enhancing drugs in baseball. That ruined it for a lot of people. You know, in football, there have been guys getting busted, but not, you know, they're holding down the shop. Roethlisberger for raping drunk girls in bathrooms. Guys punching their girlfriends out in elevators. You know, it is kind of hard to believe that your defense can't be that seventh grade defense. She hit me first. So for guys who have been in situations where they're free with their hands, let me give you a little advice. The second the woman you're with strikes you and you feel like striking her back, fight that urge. Instead, reach for the phone, call the police, and say, I am being attacked by a harridan. H-A-R-R-I-D-A-N. You can also use the word harpy. And if you catch her sleeping with one of your friends, you might call her a trollop, or a strumpet, or a doxy. If you want to dig down deep in the English language, she's a doxy. I caught this doxy with my plumber. Or like Slick Rig said, see the mailman's bag and the mailman's pants. I know this is interspersed with a certain amount of levity, but this is a serious, to quote Slick Rick again, a serious situation that all sports go through. That's a paraphrase. But this has been a terrible week. And how terrible of a week? It's been terrible enough to blot out everything that preceded it. You know why? Because they've got this really kind of compelling two-step. And a compelling two-step is like, oh, didn't something really cool happen? And here's your dessert. Shit. Oh, man, that was a great meal. Wasn't that meal fantastic? Yeah, and here's dessert. Shit. And I have no idea what happens. I have no idea what happens on the gambling front. Because I guarantee you, if I bet on Anderson Silva to win and I get a bunch of money, no bookies clawing back shit for me. I don't care who you send. You know, Fox has got to be, you know, I mean, this is less. Fox is, you know, Fox is also knuckle deep into car racing. You got guys running each other over on the course. You got guys, you know, beating up their wives and run, you know, got. I mean, it's got its own problems. And I guarantee if you start drug testing race car drivers, you're going to find something. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like, please, God, don't let it be an MMA fighter. It doesn't matter. You can't be. My kids used to go to some hoity-toity private school. I said, how hoity-toity? I'm sitting there once, and I'm talking to a friend of mine from New York. His kid goes to school there. He's a venture capital guy. And you know, I look over. I go, what is it with all these rich, broad moms? Look at them. Look at them. Everybody, they reach a certain age in 50, then they start doing this thing of dyeing their hair to hide the gray. Everybody can't be a blonde. Look at that. They all look like they're trying to be Michelle Pfeiffer. Look at over. Look at that. Look at that one. Look at her sitting right there. That's the chick right there. She's like, oh, I'm Michelle Pfeiffer. And he looks at me, what? I don't care. Fuck that. People Donna Shalala me at fighting. You can't Donna Shalala me in person. In fact, I'm not going for it. I don't give a shit what Kid Nate has started. I refuse. I'm a refusenik. I don't care if I told the story multiple times. I don't give a shit. I use it multiple times to make a different point. So I look over and he says, hey, you're interrupting the show. What are you doing? Nah, it's all right. Leave it. You're messing up my train of thought. So, yeah, I look over. He looks at me and he goes, "That is Michelle Pfeiffer." That I go, oh. So my kids go to some hoity-toity, you know, rich kids school, which is why I'm always complaining about money. Thank God, two of my kids are out of there. I only got one left. Perception. Perception, I don't know why I started talking about the kids thing because I got sidetracked. It's gone. The thought is gone. Sorry. It's the kid, the hoity-toity kids school had something to do with something. But the issue is, in my mind, perception. You know, there are fathers at this hoity-toity kids school who come up to me and talk to me about MMA. Oh, I know what it was. I got it. All right. So hoity-toity kids school, I was telling you how hoity-toity it was. There's a guy who was an MMA fighter who was there. his kid has a problem. I'm not going to mention the MMA fighter's name. I'm sure he doesn't want me talking about this. His kid has a problem. Some recess scuffle. His kid kicks out the guy's knee, jumps on his back, sinks the choke in. The kid passes out. This is bad for the sport. Any other kid could get into a fist fight. Any other kid at the hoity-toity school could get into a scuffle. Anybody else, it could be anybody else. It can't be the MMA fighter kid's son. It can't be. It can't be. Car racing might have a problem with drug addiction, with wife beating, spousal abuse, abandoned families, alcohol. It just can't be fighting. Why do you think they call boxing the sweet science? Boxing is a sweet science. Jim Lampley, who was an ABC guy, he still hates MMA. He says it's like watching somebody speak fake Chinese. That's a direct quote. Which means it's insulting if you're a boxing fan. Boxing is a sport in people's minds. I can't watch boxing without cringing myself. I love boxing. I still can't watch it without cringing. Because the target zone is here or here. The point is, perception is everything. You can't be the MMA kid's son and get into a fight wherein you choke a guy out. Yes, okay, football has got, bicycle racing has got problems. It doesn't matter. Where we are with the sport, it does not matter. We can't be there. We can't be those guys. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't know what to tell you. You know? I mean, if you were an MMA fighter, you're listening to people from all over the place. You're like, man, I gotta succeed. I gotta rehab this wrist. I gotta. This is. Let me explain something to you. If you have no place to go, you will go no place. I don't expect the guys at the top of the field to be leading this lawsuit and leading the charge. But, you know, fundamentally, this is not the responsibility of the UFC. It's not. You can say, oh, well, the NSAC, the testing is screwed up. Well, this and that is set up. This is a human resource issue that has not. Look, you know what they did at Sony? At Sony, they decided to institute drug testing. I know because I've got a friend who works at Sony. Drug testing, suddenly. You came and drug test all the engineers, everybody. I said, well, so what happened with that drug testing program? Swept under the rug. Why? 72% hit rate. Everybody at Sony, allegedly, is high, allegedly. So rather than fire everybody, impractical, punish everybody, impractical, they did the third best thing. Just make believe it didn't exist. Stalin style. So the UFC can alter punish, you know, okay, we're gonna claw back some of the money, we're gonna punish you this way, you can put, but this is fundamentally, actually, if you had a, this is where the UFC would say, yeah, it might be a pain in the ass when it comes to negotiating for cash or for fees, but you know. If you had a players union, you might be able to fire Matt Hughes and say to the players rep, union rep, deal with it. Get your house in order. Get your house in order because you are, you know, it's like the roommate that you have that leaves Twinkie smashed into the floor, Eric. The guy who you go into his room and he's got 3-week-old tuna fish sandwiches jammed into his bitches, Eric. The guy who justifies it on the basis of the fact that his mother was very neat, so his form of rebellion was dog food smeared on his pillowcase, Eric. So no, usually you find me, I'm not a company guy. Attica, Attica. I'm on the front lines. I'm Norma Ray. I'm not thinking about things in terms of management, even though my sympathies are management sympathies. You start your own company if you don't like it. I think the highest calling is to start your own company. Or like a guy I know once said, never work for somebody who doesn't have a boss. Owner-operators can be dangerous. You be the owner-operator. Be the most dangerous. Hippo style. I love hippos. Ill-tempered. Because this is not a problem that the bald guy can solve. Like he said, how am I supposed to monitor their activities? You know, it's like child rearing. You do not want to be a cop with your child. But if you have a child who is a dumbass, what options do you have? Seriously, what options do you have if you have a child who is a dumbass? And everybody now is linking to this clip. Oh, it's trending right now. MMA fighter who dares a girl to punch him and she knocks him out. You think that's funny? On a certain level, I think it's funny. On another level, I'm deeply, deeply chagrined and sad for this guy. You know, I actually do not think it is that we are telling tales out of school to say that this is, or I don't believe we're too far off base to say that this is combat. Because these youngsters are giving away everything and getting in return less than nothing. You know, and I think about this constantly because I think about it in the context of music. How is it going to be that you dedicate your life to music for 20, 25 years and you got to drive a cab? Not all those hair metal band guys were blowing their money on coke and hookers. Well, I mean, 90% of them. But, you know, there are a lot more than 90% of them out there, or these hip-hop guys. Yeah, okay. Usually that's a management issue. Because entertainment lawyers are not driving cabs. But you create some of your own problems. You know, why do you think they started this rock and roll meme of the hard party and rock and roll guy? You know why? Because hard party and rock and roll guys don't ask questions about the billing statements and the airplanes and the limos. Who's paying for that? They don't ask those questions. This, my friends, is a fighter problem. Who else got popped? John Fitch. Wasn't he leading some, you know, this is what we call a self-cleaning oven. It is what we call a self-cleaning. The bald guy could just sit back and just wait. The problems will correct themselves. I mean, you know, it's like professional wrestling without the costumery and the turnbuckle gymnastics. And Tyron Woodley is saying, you got a problem with CM Punk, you got a problem with me? What are you talking about? I'm going to walk on to the New England Patriots as a kicker? You can't tell me you don't understand that people are slightly chagrined. Where does he enter the rankings? That guy, he wants to fight? Let him fight King of the Cage. Tito saying, I'm not going to fight Kimbo Slice because I'm not going to, I'm not going to fight a backyard. What? I bet you'd fight CM Punk. You know, I told you a story about the plumber starts looking up at me, telling me he's not a plumber, standing in the ditch at my house. See, strippers cry. They're treating me like I'm a hooker. Not all strippers are hookers. But this particular stripper, let's call her Olga, was sucking guys off in the private room for cash. So what's the problem? They were treating you as though you were a hooker. In fact, you are a hooker. But I don't want to be treated like a hooker. I got it. Like my plumber doesn't want to be treated like a plumber. Like furniture move. Hey, when I was a furniture mover, I took it straight on the chin. You guys seem pretty bright. You're not just furniture movers. So we're moving your furniture. But I got my degree. I didn't get a job getting out of Stanford for like 17 months. And I was looking. So these are our fighter-based problems. The computer's about to die, so I need to make some sort of adjustment here. I have to make a significant adjustment. Hold on, we'll be back. These are fighter-based problems that very clearly require fighter-based solutions. And if you're out there feeling isolated somehow, that somewhat it's every man for look, I've said before, it dawned on me at a certain point, the most important person to in your career as a fighter, like a guy like Kung Lee, who's people don't realize his genius was in choosing who he fought. He recently said he wanted to retire at Bellator. Of course he did, because he had a freer hand in choosing who he fought with Scott Coker than he ever who he broke bread with and hung out with than he ever would with the bald guy. He did a great job of picking opponents. Most important person to your career trajectory is going to be that person with you. And in that case, you have this is a brethren, a fraternity, a fraternal order, fraternal sorority order of individuals. You should unionize. Not to get paid, not to deal with the Reebok thing, not for medical insurance, but because you can support each other in the way that most significantly needs to happen. They have this app called Waze, Waze, I think it is, and the cops in America are pissed off about it because it lets people cop spot. They feel after the shootings in New York, or shootings everywhere, people shoot at cops. They feel largely uncomfortable having people know where they are. I would say the other way. Somebody once said to Obama, he said, "How do you feel running for office, man? Somebody's going to try to assassinate you." He goes, "Look, I can't even get through my day if I'm thinking about stuff like that. You're a cop, you can't even get through your day without, yeah, it's a possibility. Can't get out there in the streets. More targets, more diffuse." This whole thing with the ISIS and the Islamic terrorism, and we gotta do, we're gonna pull the movie The Interview. We're gonna, life is too short. Now the most recent thing is the colonial forebears to the Middle East, that they created countries out of thin air and traditional alliances and rivalries backed to Sunnis up with Shia, backed with Houthis, backed with Kurds, backed with Wahhabis. Hey man, keep that shit straight without a scorecard. Religion, organized religion. I don't have time for it. I don't know that any collective could have. Is Anderson right? Is he wrong? I mean, that's the thing. You don't muddy the water. I had a girlfriend who had an unerring, and when I use the word unerring instinct, secretly in the back of my mind, I think it had nothing to do with instinct at all. And I think it had everything to do with intentionality and planning, and it was purposeful. Unerring instinct. No matter what was cool that happened, it would be immediately followed up with something extremely uncool. "Look what I got you for your birthday, baby. I got you." Let's modernize it a bit. This was a long time ago. I got you the new iPad. jam-packed with films and all your favorite music? Great! Wow! And I only had to sleep with 20 Johns to be able to afford it. Great, thank you. Thanks. Unerring instinct. Oh, hey, I bought you. I got you. If she gave two, she'd take away four. If she gave four, she'd take away eight. You can't keep doing this to us. This is me speaking as an MMA fan. And I'm not just talking to MMA fighters, those are the only ones I care about, but I don't want to hear the rebop from baseball players, from football players, from basketball players, you know. So I'm in a weird position because I think drugs should be decriminalized. But especially in sports, when you have seasons, you could get high all the rest of the year. Performance-enhancing drugs are going to all year-round testing. But if you coked out of your mind when you're off-season, but be able to pull it together. Unfortunately, MMA doesn't have a season, much like boxing, much like WWE, fake wrestling. And not so coincidentally, you got problems with these sports because people have no downtime. Well, you know what? When I worked at Intel, they drug tested you. One time. You get the job. Of course, it was a drug testing workplace. If you got strange, they could immediately demand a drug test on the spot. I'm guessing. I'm not sure. I don't know that for a fact. I've never had that problem. But we got to do something. We just can't. What do you think the casual fan, it's like inviting a casual fan to a house party, and at the house party, a fight breaks out, that's all well and good, and then the guy who wins the fight afterward rapes the person he's beat, and suddenly nobody feels good about it. What was great about this sport, it was a definitive outcome where boxing had just been 12 to 15 rounds of decision after decision, some of which were highly questionable. MMA offered definitive. A guy unconscious on the canvas, on the mat, in the cage. There is no shilly-shallying your way about that. No equivocating your way around that. Until the decision gets reversed. Like I've said before, I want them to use no contest more often. Way more often. But not under a circumstance like this. So this has been a shit week, my friends. A shitty, shitty week. How often have I had a show wherein which I have, in anger and depression, told you that this was the worst week ever? I have to tell you right now, never. Even when I was by the riverside in Lyon, France, cursing God, throwing a fig at heaven, like Dante says in the Inferno, which I misunderstood. I thought he was actually throwing figs at God, didn't realize it meant the figa. This has never been a worse week, and I have never felt worse about it. And of course, this shit happens, and there was no fight this weekend that would maybe have diverted my attention. So if you're an MMA fan, if you're an MMA fighter, if you know an MMA fighter, if you yourself are an MMA, you're working with an MMA fighter, MMA fighter comes, you gotta stop. You gotta stop. Because you're not just fucking with your own career, you're fucking with everybody's career, mine included. Okay, I don't know. Anderson Silva says he's not. I don't know. That's the thing. We want definitive back. We don't want the murk. It's the same feeling when baseball fans talk and think about Barry Bonds. Only the true myopians feel good when they think about Barry Bonds. Everybody else feels like it's like that uncle. who died and left you a bunch of money, but also molested you. You have a weird feeling about it. This is not, I guarantee you something. I do not desire to continue to feel this way. It'll be a situation where you're fired, I quit. You quit, I fire, you're fired. I have taken steroids. This is a known fact. Talked about it before. And I know they're a great drug. You feel great. I understand all that. But you just ride it out. Maybe a year, everybody gets clean for a year. Or not, at least not caught. You know? You know what? If you see the testers coming through your door to your gym, fall down on the ground and start screaming that you've been hurt and you can't go on. Have somebody rush you to the hospital and you must leave if you know you're dirty. But do not go in there hoping that a magical hand on the rock is going to save you from getting busted from a drug test. Vanderlei Silva, some Chelsea, and these guys ran out the back door. That works too. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I don't set out to be a buzzkill. But if it happens, it happens. This is round number 379. I'm your host, Eugene S. Robinson. The S stands for steamed. I'd say, I hope you enjoyed this show, but I know that that's a distant possibility. We'll see you next week, maybe with better news. Kid Nate and I have a show to do with Tay Tay somehow midweek. Maybe I'll have worked myself out as high dudgeon, but I can't look at these guys' faces now without thinking, God damn it. What are you thinking? You know, I'll close with this story. I have told it before about a friend of mine, Myron, wanted to go to the military desperately. They said, okay, we got something special for you. It's called honesty testing. Have you ever taken any drugs? Yes. What drugs have you take? What drugs are you talking about? Well, for example, have you smoked marijuana? Yes. Have you taken cocaine? Yes. Have you tried heroin? Yes. Have you taken hallucinogenics? Yes. Have you taken some? Myron had multiple drugs. And at the end of the honesty testing, they go, thank you. You can't get into the Marines. And he went to all the armed services, and they nixed him. This was his lifelong dream. Wanted to be OCS, a Stanford guy. I'm not telling you not to do drugs. I'm just saying you really, really can't get caught having done them. Please. And we'll see you next week. Look what you made me do!